I just don't understand why we're even having this conversation. I think the whole thing is completely absurd.
All of this is absolute nonsense. Take care of your own business. You know what I mean? Like, take care of it. Pay for your crap.
Hello, everybody. Hello. You guys make sure you check out our website at chicksontheright.com. Also, we did a deep dive yesterday that will be out this Saturday with Chrissy Mayer.
I love Mayer. Her.
Am I saying your last name right? Mayer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kind of like John Mayer, only without the E. So it's like Mayer, like you
without
say,
the absolute arrogance that he has. Yeah.
Right.
Right. She's really actually funny and talented. So yeah, that'll be coming out on Saturday, and we will be at CPAC when that happens. So
we're leaving today.
We're leaving today. A lot of traveling's happened today. You guys, it's gonna be a long ass day.
It's gonna be a long several days, actually. Because
right, you guys, funny story. Thing. Funny story. So I have to get a car from the airport to the hotel, and Miriam mock booked it for me. And I got a text from the person who's gonna be picking me up because she's afraid for me to take an Uber. So she got me a car.
I don't Uber.
She's afraid of Ubers. And so anyway, so we got a little car, and the guy wrote me, and he was like, he goes, "Hello, how are you doing? This Mo, the chauffeur, your wife, tomorrow at 7 p.m. is like, I'm going to pick up your wife." Like, and I'm like, no. So he thinks that I'm Mock's wife because that's how things work these days, you know?
When really it's you. He's picking you up.
He's picking me up, but he thinks that.
Which is why we were singing Taylor Swift on our way in, because we were like,
"Hi,
it's me.
Hi, I'm the problem. It's me." Yeah. He's going to be picking me up. Anyways, that's happening. So we're traveling a lot today. Check out our podcast this weekend. There's a lot going on. We actually have some good news today, too, which is nice. We haven't had a lot of good news in a while.
What's our good news? Oh, because of Lori Lightfoot. Yeah,
we're going to get to her. A little bit. I mean, that's nice.
Super good news. That's like fantastically good news. That's awesome, awesome good news in a world of not so great news a lot of the time, right?
Exactly.
So, yeah. So that's a thing that we will get to for sure. And then in addition to traveling for CPAC, that's going to be busy, you guys. It's going to be really, really busy. And I don't know, like as each day passes with each day of age that is tacked on to me, I have less and less interest in peopling. I mean, like meet and greet peopling, I'm all about. Cause that's y'all. And like,
that's different. Like that's totally different.
You know what I mean? Like the whole
other people,
this kind of thing, this kind of CPAC,
like
thing.
The corporate kind of peopling, 0% interest.
0%. It's going to be a lot of work. So
yeah,
we're looking forward to it because we get to hang out together. But like if this was CPAC, where CPAC was just staying in your hotel room the entire time and
getting room service. Right.
That's the way that we like to do CPAC.
We just want to be in our jammies, you guys. Is all we want to do is get our jammies and get room service. We're like, do they have fries? Do they have fries and chicken tenders? We just want chicken tenders and fries.
Yes.
Four orders, please. Four orders.
Four orders. Extra ketchup.
Right.
A couple little fun little notes, stories before we get into the meat of the show. And that is, I don't know if you guys heard that there's like a whole new Rachel Dolezal who also goes by the name Raquel. Sarah Swati is the name that she goes by when her actual real last name was like Smith or something. I don't know. But her parents outed her. She has been living her life as a queer Muslim, like brown-skinned Muslim from who knows where, and getting jobs as a representative of that particular community. So it's a whole other Dolezal. She now has resigned. She put out some weird tweet storm saying that she understands why people are angry and that pretty soon she'll come out with a full explanation. But it was her own parents who were like, she's so white. She is Lily White. She is Snow White. This is a whole made up thing.
Why are people doing this?
Because they can. Because that's the whole culture that leftists have created. You can identify however you want. Biology be damned.
God, it's crazy.
Right?
But yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, you can identify however you want. However, like she got caught for it and now she's like, what happens to her?
She stepped down away from whatever her job was. And so I don't know what's next.
She shouldn't be shamed though. I mean, because we have biological men who are saying they're identifying as women and they're shattering women's records in sports. So why should she be shamed for identifying as...
Well, that's the question. Why can't you be transracial?
Why not? Why can't she be? This is the thing. I don't... Why are they so mad at her?
I don't know.
I should be able to identify as a billionaire.
And why? And you should be able to identify as whatever age you want.
Exactly.
Like, there's no rules anymore, right? So if this is the culture, then anything goes.
I'm actually 25. Believe it.
And even if you don't believe it, it's still true because it's true to you.
Exactly. I mean, this totally tells a different story, but I'm 25. Believe it.
Shelly, thank you. She says, enjoy your super slumber party. Safe travels.
Thank you, Shelly.
Thank you so much. Listen, because it's been a while, and I wanted to remind everyone about one of our newest and most favorite sponsors ever. If you go to chicksloveoliveoil.com, most amazing fresh pressed olive oil. We were not believers before we talked to TJ Robinson, who is like the supreme, like, high priest of olive oil hunting, because he literally goes across the world to find the very best, most flavorful olives at their peak level of ripeness to make olive oil. The whole process was so fascinating to learn about.
It really is fascinating. We need to do a little video with him so people can understand, because it really is fascinating. And until you talk to him and understand it, you're like, it's just olive oil. It's not.
It's not. This is the one, because now we're like in a whole olive oil club. This is my favorite. I'm not sure which is the free bottle that they're sending out right now. It doesn't even matter, because
it's like the hardcore stuff.
Taste tests every single bottle. Yeah. And if you go to chicksloveoliveoil.com, you're going to get a full size bottle of oil for free. You just pay $1 to ship it. That's it. $1 for shipping, and you get a full-size bottle of olive oil. You're going to be amazed at the difference. And if you are, I know we've got a lot of people out there who are very, very good cooks, and it's a whole new world, okay? And I don't even cook, and I am a true believer now. So go to chicksloveoliveoil.com. Amazing stuff, you guys. Amazing stuff. All right, let's talk about Lori Lightfoot, who I didn't even realize. I mean, my bad. I didn't even know that there was an election yesterday. I had no idea that she was running for re-election and that the vote was yesterday. She not only lost, she didn't even make the runoff. So now there's two other dudes that are going to be going to a runoff, I think, on the 4th of April. And she is completely out of the picture. I guess I couldn't find video of this moment, but there was apparently a moment where a reporter said to her, "Do you think that gender and race played into your defeat?" And she said, "I'm a black woman in America, of course."
Oh my God. Yeah. The fact that Chicago is a complete hellscape has nothing to do with it. Okay.
She became mayor. So how does she explain that?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't get to say that. Like, it's just, it makes me so mad. So I have a little tiny clip of her way too long concession speech. Here's all you need to see.
Election today, but I stand here with my head held high and a heart full of gratitude.
No one cares. No one cares about your head held high.
I cannot believe her head is being held high. It should be hanging so low. it should be dragging the ground at this point. Like, what a complete loser. She has destroyed that city.
I read that like under her, I think it was like her first 2 years, crime went up. Or no, I think it's in the past year, crime has gone up 52% from 100% increase the year before crazy.
It's a complete,
like, she's been awful.
It's a nightmare. I lived there. I used to live in that city. I would not go there right now. I wouldn't. I'd be terrified to go there. And I used to walk around by myself as a single woman in Chicago. I can't even imagine doing that now.
No way.
I cannot imagine. Yeah.
But this is what happens when you don't actually care about crime and people are constantly victimized by it. Probably not going to vote you back in because like somebody needs to do something about
that. It took a while for her to see consequences. I mean, let's face it. People were like, they were lagging on that. But then finally, it's like, okay, you guys ready to get somebody else in there to represent you? okay, it's going to take a while to turn that around. I mean, I don't know how long it's going to take to clean that up.
But, and what do you want to bet, like, Biden now taps her for some cabinet position?
Oh, my God.
What I would not put it past him at all. I would not. Would not put it past him. Another big thing that's happening right now is that the Supreme Court is hearing the case about whether or not Joe Biden overreached when he just executive ordered the cancellation of student loan debt, which is not something that it seems like he can do constitutionally, which is why this is now being seen and heard by the Supreme Court. So while they were in their deliberation, or they're not even to the deliberation stage yet, but they're listening to the case, to the sides, right? And so there's a lot of questions about it. Well, the squad, Randy Weingarten, Elizabeth Warren, all kinds of horrific, awful, terrible people were gathered at the steps of the Supreme Court building to, you know, state their case and like protest and be all screechy and hysterical. So I made I schmooshed together four different clips of some of the more egregious, hysterical people. And so you're just going to see them one right after the other, and they get progressively more hysterical till we get to Randy Weingarten, school union boss, who is absolutely out of her mind hysterical. And I saw someone on Twitter that said, if you like this video of her 100 times, if this gets 100 likes, I'm going to ramp up the, not the decibels, but like the oct, like they're going to make her voice higher every time they repost the video. So of course people were liking it like crazy. And so by the end, she sounds absolutely like a chipmunk, right? Like they just make her sound more and more ridiculous. It's so great.
Okay.
But here, I don't have those, but I do have these four clips of faces that you will be familiar to you, all just saying ridiculous things, nonsensical things about how student loan debt just needs to go away. We'll start with Elizabeth Warren.
Fired up because I am fired up to defend student loan debt cancellation for more than 40 million Americans. I am fired up to tell the United States Supreme Court to follow the law and get out of the way so we can cancel this debt. Regardless of what happens today, we are not going to stop. We are not going to rest until every single person who has student debt is freed from that and is able to have opportunity in this country. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being in this fight. It is an honor to stand alongside you all. Communities, and so we speak up and we say enough is enough, and not today. So let me ask you, and I need to hear your response. Are the profits of a student loan servicer more important than the people's lives? Is state tax revenue, which is what they're claiming, is it more important than people staying housed and fed? Should a far-right Supreme Court stop over 40 million borrowers from receiving student debt relief? I agree.
And frankly, and this is what really pisses me off, during the pandemic, we understood that small businesses were hurting, and we helped them, and it didn't go to the Supreme Court to challenge it. Big businesses were hurting, and we helped them, and it didn't go to the Supreme Court to challenge it. All of a sudden, when it's about our students, they challenge it, the corporations challenge it, the student loan lenders challenge it. That is not right. That is not fair, and that is what we are fighting as well when we say cancel student debt.
She okay? Is somebody needs to check on her? Somebody needs to like.
She is not okay.
She's gonna have a stroke. Like something's gonna. I'm serious. I'm actually concerned about her health.
I mean, what a ridiculous proposition too for them to say, well, everything was fine. Like all the stuff that helped people, the PPP, all the stuff that all the COVID relief measures we took during the height of the pandemic, that was all fine. But now people are trying to fight student. Yeah, because all of those things helped people get back on their feet, helped the open, you know, businesses are now reopening. They stayed open during COVID. And by the way, student loan debt was deferred. No one was paying on student loans so that they got the same benefit. Well, exactly, now businesses are back and now it's time to pony up.
Not all businesses are back. Some of them were completely shut down and destroyed during that time.
That's true. That's true. But the point is, she's trying to make a comparison about the different kinds of support and assistance that was provided.
There isn't.
Well, they didn't have to pay student loans during this past 2 or 3 years. Right. Now it's time.
It's an apples and oranges comparison.
Right.
Plus, those students, the bottom line is they didn't have to take out that loan. They didn't have to do that. I mean, this is what I just don't understand why we're even having this conversation. I think the whole thing is completely absurd. Mm-hmm. We've just lost our way in this country. When we're having a conversation about, okay, I'm going and I'm getting a degree in a liberal arts degree, and I have a liberal arts degree. I have two of them. They're useless. I mean, serious. Neither one of them prepared me to do what I'm doing right now. But I have them and I paid for them. And it's like, you know, it's not anybody else's responsibility to pay for those degrees. I never once in my brain thought to myself, self, that master's degree in communications that was completely useless is Mock's responsibility to pay for.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Sandy's responsibility to pay for. On what planet is that okay? I mean, it's like, it's like if I go out and buy a car and I'm like, this car ended up being a complete piece of shit. That ends up being Kendall's responsibility to pay for. How is that okay? Like at some point we woke up in this country and somebody thought that was an okay notion to have in their brain, and now that is something that we're discussing at the Supreme Court level. Like, how is this not absurd?
It is absurd. It's every bit as absurd as reparations. All of this is absolute nonsense. Take care of your own business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, take care of it.
Pay for your own crap. Pay for your own crap, period. Like, the founders are rolling over in their graves.
Yeah.
Pay for your own crap. If you can't do it, don't buy it. Don't buy it.
It's not hard. And you don't, and that's the thing. This cancellation isn't an actual thing. Like, it does end up getting paid for. It's not like it just vanishes.
Right.
There are still creditors that are owed the money. So it doesn't just go away. It just becomes another thing that's tacked on to the massive amount of debt that's already been tacked onto us by this government.
It's somebody else's problem. And it's, you know what? And it becomes something. This problem, and it's that somebody else is somebody who chose not to get a degree,
right? Who couldn't afford it?
Who couldn't afford it, and who was responsible enough to say, mm-hmm. you know what, I can't afford this, so I'm not going to do it. And now they're tacked on with that stupid, irresponsible decision that you made, you moron. You know, or that I made.
Yeah, or they're like you, where they actually, and me, because I paid for my own school.
Right.
They actually paid off their own college, and now you're asking me to pay for everybody else too?
Exactly. It's just, exactly. No. It is not anybody else's responsibility to pay for your stuff. It's just not. It's simply not. And I'm sorry that you don't understand that. Well, grow up.
It's just absolutely freaking crazy. You guys, we have an email from Karen Johnson that I wanted to share with you because this is really good. She says, "Dear Chicks, thank you, thank you, thank you for introducing me to Healthy Cell. Not only do I love the bioactive multivitamin, but there's something else. Their subscription service is the best. I had hesitated to place my first order because I'm retired and not a fan of monthly subscriptions, but I found out that they offer other options. I have Mindset for quarterly shipping, and they send a text message prior to shipping that allows you to swap products or delay or even skip the order. What a great help that is when there's more month at the end of my money. I delayed it for a month with the assurance that they'll send another reminder just in case I need to reschedule. No more financial surprises. Everyone should be taking Healthy Cell for the physical benefits, but also for the way that they care for us individually. I am a forever customer, from Karen Johnson." Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah.
So she took advantage, man. You guys, if you haven't heard of Healthy Cell, this is the vitamin supplement. It's a full, complete nutritional supplement that you need in place of those giant horse pills or tablets or capsules that you're taking, which your body cannot absorb efficiently. These are gel packs of delicious goo, okay? And that is what you take for your multivitamin. Your body absorbs it 165% better, and you will feel the difference. I promise you. You can try it out for yourself. You can use code CHICKS at healthycell.com/chicks. You'll get 20% off that first order, so you can check it out and see the difference it makes for yourself. Okay. In other news, Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI, had an interview with Brett Baer, and I have a couple of clips to play from that. The first one's kind of long because I could not figure out how to remove any piece of it, especially because Brett Baer is asking him, "What the hell? You guys have had Hunter Biden's laptop for 3 freaking years. I'm paraphrasing.
3 years. But think about that. It's been that long. Oh, my God.
What is the holdup? If Daily Mail can break down all the contents of it, why can't you? This is not – what is going on? So he asks specifically about that. He also asks specifically about the FBI's trying to tell social media platforms and Twitter specifically – to suspend certain accounts. There's some pushback about that from Christopher Wray, which I don't even know why he bothers because the evidence is clear. And then Brett Baer in the second clip pushes even further on the Hunter Biden thing. Thank you, Swamp Sagas City.
You got to read her comment.
I met Governor DeSantis at his book signing last night, and I want Mock to know that his eyes sparkle when he smiles at you. Oh my God.
Yeah, you like that comment.
I do love that comment. And you know what? I knew that because he's a very smiley eyes sort of person. Like you can just see that whenever he does smile. I don't even see that in person, but I'm so jealous of you all the same.
Goodness.
Okay. Okay, on to Christopher Wray. So this is, hang in, you guys, because you got to see this whole entire thing. Here we go.
Well, let's start with the laptop. The FBI has had access to this laptop for more than 3 years. Why is this investigation on the Hunter Biden laptops taking so long?
Well, the investigation is being led, as you may know, by a U.S. attorney appointed in the last administration out of Delaware, and the FBI is actively supporting and working with that U.S. attorney on that investigation.
But the whistleblowers are telling these lawmakers that there was an internal effort to shut down the investigation from the beginning. Have you found that?
I have not found anything like that.
All right. So let's talk about the FBI and what you told Big Tech or some agents did about the authenticity and provenance of Hunter Biden's laptop. What about that from an FBI perspective?
The FBI does not and is not in the business of functioning as the truth police.
Understood.
So we don't tell social media companies to censor anything.
Well, or the Twitter file suggests something different. I mean, there was an FBI request numerous times. Taibbi puts it out, FBI San Francisco request to ban certain accounts. Twitter personnel in this case went on to look for reasons to suspend all 4 accounts that the FBI wanted to ban or suspend. Is it appropriate to flag social media accounts on Twitter or elsewhere due to politics or government policies when it comes to COVID? Is it appropriate in any way? You're saying it doesn't happen, but there's evidence that it had.
We don't tell social media companies to ban accounts.
But you suggest.
What we do is tell social media companies about information that we have about foreign disinformation campaigns by foreign actors, by foreign intelligence services. And those companies then make decisions about what, if anything, they want to do about it.
Last thing about the Hunter Biden laptop.
And we'll get to the rest of the Hunter thing too, but that he's lying.
I know.
And Brett is literally holding emails that completely contradict.
He's absolutely lying. It's like everybody knows how much of a liar this guy is. Look at his face.
Especially right there where I've frozen it. That's my favorite.
I know. You know, like, listen, you know, I feel like I'm such an expert on men lying at this point in my life. just by all the boyfriends and husbands I've had. It's like, I can just tell. But I mean, I look at this guy's face and I'm like, oh, I want to scream at him. I want Brett to scream at him. You know,
because they flash the evidence of one of the whistleblowers on the screen. That's the point where I wanted Brett Baer to be like, explain this piece. Explain this exactly. Explain it. And then what was he going to say?
He's not going to say, well, that,
that doesn't exist.
We don't tell them who to suppress. We don't do that.
But like you legit did in this email. And then even worse, it's not even what he said it was. These were people's accounts who had nothing to do with Russian disinformation. Mm-hmm. So that excuse just does not fly. And the FBI, I want to feel bad for Brett.
The FBI
like,
doesn't.
You're lying.
No, the FBI doesn't engage in that, Mock. Look into my eyes. Look, I'm not lying to you. I'm not, sweetheart. I'm not.
Oh, you're full of crap, dude. You're full of crap.
Here's the rest. There might be a cut because this is actually two different clips, but here's more on the Hunter Biden laptop.
There was concern.
Here's the next part about the laptop.
Last thing about the Hunter Biden laptop. There was concern about the authenticity, and even Vice President Biden on the debate stage referenced this letter from former intel officials.
There are 50 former national intelligence folks who said that what this he's accusing me of is a Russian plant.
But it turns out it wasn't.
I can't speak to what former officials of the intelligence community may or may not have said. I can only speak to what we do. And unfortunately, as you would expect, if we're going to do this investigation in the right way, that means I can't talk about the specifics of that investigation, other than to assure everyone that I expect our people to tackle this investigation the way that I expect them to tackle every investigation, which is to follow the facts wherever they lead, no matter who likes it.
Okay,
and there's always somebody who doesn't like it.
Let's talk.
It's just going to take us another 3 more years, you guys.
By then, everybody will have forgotten all about it.
It's fine. It's just going to take us that much longer, and it's going to cost you.
And Joe Biden's second term will be over.
It's going to be fine. It's going to cost you guys a lot more money. Yeah, and I'm making a lot of it. Woo!
I'm so. Anyway,
I know, right?
So there's that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of Biden, he did a speech yesterday, which was like super extra slurry. And then there was this part where he was super extra creepy talking about an experience that he had some time ago, long ago at Walter Reed with a nurse and the way that the nurse treated him. And you guys, I'm grossed out. Okay. I'm just grossed out by like how
it's every day. It's every day at this point. He does something creepy and weird and stupid and non-presidential every single day. This is what it's like. What's today? Oh, it's a creepy nurse story. Here we go. Creepy nurse story.
Creepy nurse story. Here it is.
Mm-hmm. Earl Nelson, military. She'd come in and do things that I don't think you learn in medical school, nursing school. That. She'd whisper in my ear. I couldn't understand him. She'd whisper, she'd lean down. She'd actually breathe on me to make sure that there was a connection, a human connection. She even went home and brought back her pillow.
This is Angels, America's choice in home care.
Who would be looking at? Who?
I have no idea.
He looks to the side and it's like, what is he doing? Is he starting to see people like just like orbs? Is he seeing people orbs off to the side? He's just like,
told that story before too. And apparently in another version of it, he says that Pearl, the nurse, like would breathe right into his nostrils, which was also odd and unnecessary for him to say out loud.
Is this when he was suffering from scarlet fever? When was this?
I have no idea. I don't want to know.
Does anybody know when?
I don't know.
Yeah, the press always laughs. The press does. The press is like,
well, yeah, because they're so like, they don't know what to do with that. Nobody knows.
He's insane. He's running the country. Oh my God. We have nukes. Oh God.
Okay, next we have a couple of clips from Jon Stewart. So you guys might remember, he was on Colbert making fun. This was an amazing clip, and I don't think the clip is included in this, but there was this amazing clip when all the hullabaloo was happening back when you were not allowed to say that COVID came from a lab leak. You were not allowed to say that or you would get canceled. Yeah. Well, he basically said it, and he did it in this whole hilarious routine on Colbert where he made fun of it, compared it to there being like this chocolate explosion in Hershey, Pennsylvania. We have no idea where that came from, right? Like, so it was the super funny thing. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jamie.
It was the super hilarious thing, and it made Colbert very uncomfortable, which made it even better. And then there was the backlash. And so liberals, leftists, who are usually Jon Stewart fans, were furious at him for having the audacity to suggest, as so many people on the right were doing, that, hey, maybe this is a leak, right? So I've got a couple of clips of him back to back talking about the anger, talking about the lack of nuance that people are unable to understand nuance in these conversations. And then at the end of that, you're going to see Dr. Marty McCary at a hearing yesterday talking about two specific doctors who seem to be part of a cover-up. And it's really, really interesting. I love Dr. Marty McCary. And so those are the three clips you're about to see. Take a listen.
I'm not mad at the backlash either, because they're doing what I was doing, which is expressing myself. The part that I don't like about it is the absolutes and the dismissive, like, fuck you, I'm done with you. I will never forgive you. You have crossed an unforgivable line. You've expressed an opinion that is antithetical to mine or not mine, and it may not be one that has any real ramifications of anything. I was just saying, this seems like it's a pretty good possibility, which, by the way, has happened before. But what was stunning to me, I think, was the anger. Like, that's the part of all of this, and it's purposeful. We've never had more speech and more information, and yet the amount of viewpoints have narrowed. So we have more speech and less of a spectrum amongst that. Everything now, nuance is for cucks. And it all comes down to a black and white Hobbesian, you know, whatever they call that viewpoint of the world.
Nasty and brutish.
Thank you, Congresswoman. The reason this is even an issue is that it's embarrassing we funded the lab. If we had not funded the lab, 100% of Americans would say this is obvious, this is a no-brainer. The epicenter of the world is 5 miles from one of the only high-level virology labs in China. The doctors initially were arrested and forced to sign non-disclosure gag documents. The lab reports have been destroyed. They've not been turned over. The sequences reported from the lab to the NIH database were deleted by a request from Chinese scientists that called over early on and said, delete those sequences we put in the database. And two leading virologists, maybe the two top virologists in the United States, Dr. Michael Farzan from Scripps and Dr. Robert Gary from Tulane, told Dr. Fauci on his emergency call in January of 2020, when he was scrambling soon after learning that the NIH was funding the lab, they both said that it was likely from the lab. Both scientists changed their tunes days later in the media, and then both scientists received $9 million subsequent in funding from the NIH. It's a no-brainer that it came from the lab. I mean, at this point, it's impossible to acquire any more information. And if you did, it would only be affirmative.
It's just unbelievable, right? And then there are still people out there who will insist that it wasn't. They will try to like push the other narrative, right?
Or they're just now the spin now, because they all know they've been caught out. The spin now is, well, we'll just never know. We'll just really never know.
Are you serious?
I mean, he's saying it's a no-brainer. There is no more information you can now learn to solidify that anymore.
They want so badly not to be wrong.
Yeah.
They want so badly for like Lord Fauci to still be Lord Fauci, right? Because they pushed it for so long. It's like this strange, I can't be wrong about the things that I pushed for all those years.
And all the people they condemned who were saying the right thing.
Mm-hmm. You're right. All the people that they condemned. I mean, think of all the times that, you know, just even with the jab too. And if you were unvaxxed, how you were treated. You know, if you were, you know, if you dared to go against, I mean, just the way that you were treated, if you dared to go against the narrative, how you were treated, you know, It's insane. It's not, it was so un-American the way that people were treated. If you just wanted to ask questions, mm-hmm. I remember just being on the radio, you and I during that time, just wanting to ask questions. And just, it was just a strange era of be careful what you say.
Right.
Right. Why? Why do we have to be careful what we say? This is freaking America, man. Like, why? That's our job. We're supposed to be asking these questions. We're supposed to be talking about this. I have a First Amendment right to do that. Bugger off. I just remember having this strange, it was this such a heavy feeling of not being able to talk about things. That's not okay. And
I knew when it was bad when they took down that video. Remember the round table of the doctors in California?
Yes.
Who were like raising their hands going, something's wrong.
Right.
There's some problems here. And they were blocked. They were taken down. And
right.
I was like, oh man, things are bad.
Yeah.
Things are bad.
It got really bad. Yeah. And it's like for those of us who, you know, we weren't careful and we wanted to talk about things. It was just, you were vilified. I mean, people were just awful to you. I remember I lost friends over it. I mean, family members were just like, don't do this and don't say that. And how dare you think this way? And you're a conspiracy theorist. And, you know, it split people apart because of all of this garbage. Shame on them.
Yeah, they were already split apart physically based on the stupid mandates and lockdowns.
Right.
And then emotionally, you were pitted against each other because you wanted to ask questions and we're not allowed to do that anymore.
Exactly. So I hope, you know, people need to be held accountable for this.
Yeah, we should not forget all the ridiculousness that we were put through.
They really do. This cannot be brushed under the rug. People have to be held accountable for this because there's so many... There's so many angles to all of this, you know, emotionally, physically, from a business perspective, from a financially. I mean, but you just, all the tentacles that this created, just our country was so affected in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the world was so affected in so many ways. But I just look at America and how this affected us and how it affected people, humanity. I mean, people need to be held accountable.
I know. I'm still waiting for the Fauci files and for something to happen to that little troll.
Right. And look at our kids, how it affected kids. They're
yeah.
They're still affected by this. You know, they're learning at, yeah, I just, some people need to be held accountable.
Bill Maher had an interview with Jake Tapper, which was really interesting. He talks about the difference between liberalism and wokeism, because as we all know, Bill Maher is a classic liberal, and he maintains that he has not, over the years, ever changed his position on really much of anything. But liberalism has definitely changed, and it's become so extreme. And so he makes a couple of good points about that right here.
Like, how do you define wokeness? Because I hear people use the term all the time, and it means something different to everybody.
Well, again, I think it's this collection of ideas that are not building on liberalism, but very often undoing it. I mean, 5 years ago, Abraham Lincoln was not a controversial figure among liberals. We liked him. Now they take his name off schools and tear down his statues. Really? Lincoln isn't good enough for you? You know, 5-10 years ago, bedrock liberalism was, we are striving to be a colorblind society where we don't see race. Of course, we see it, but it doesn't matter. That's not what woke is. Woke is something very different. It's identity, we see it all the time. It's always the most important thing. I don't think that's liberalism. I mean, I could mention so many issues like that. I remember doing... That show on HBO, Comic Relief for the Homeless. And the idea then, again, among liberals, I thought was, you know, for the sake of compassion, can we get these people off the street so they have a roof over their heads? And now it's like, how dare you try to move the homeless? This is where they live. It's like, again, you change the definitions and then you say, I'm more conservative. I believe what I've always believed. You change these things and then you yell at me for it.
I love that.
It is really interesting. I mean, all the examples that he gave, it's remarkable, isn't it? Like,
and it's so scary how fast it's all happened.
It is.
And how easily most of the culture has glommed on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And also how many of the things that he said, I agree with. Right. Like, and how I'm like, wait, am I a classic liberal? Because it's like, what is going on? Because I don't agree with him on so many things, but then there are so many things that I do agree with him on, which make me go, that's weird. Because I've always considered myself a conservative, which I am. But then there are certain things that, you know, like the colorblind society. Of course, we all want to be colorblind. That's how I was raised. You know, my parents were, you know, kids of the, they were like college kids of the 60s. And they were raised during that time where it was like, you know, the civil rights movement, everything. And they raised us, my sister and I, to be colorblind. And so that's how, and it, we just were raised that way. Like we, everybody was equal. It's like, and so that's how I see the world, right? And so that's how I raise our, my kids. And that's not how woke people want us to be.
No, they want it to be all you see.
Yeah. And so this generation of kids, like my 13-year-old, I look at her school, I look at the way that, you know, she sees the world. And it's like, I have to combat that. I have to, like, every day I have to tell her, don't listen to these people. Like, you know, it doesn't matter what your skin color is. It doesn't matter. It's like, all it is melanin, honey. All it is just, it's just, it doesn't matter. You know,
yeah.
It does. And I have to fight. I never dreamed in a million years that I would have to be doing that. And it just drives me crazy. It's like, I can't believe I'm in 2023 that I'm having to do that. And
that
so
you're having to undo what so much of the schools are doing.
Right. I'm having to undo it. That I, and I agree with Bill Maher on so many things.
Yeah.
A classic liberal. Like, what the hell? It's crazy. Yeah.
It's freaking nuts, you guys.
Uh-huh.
I know this is a massive topic switch, but I can't do anything about that. It just is. There was a woman yesterday who testified in a hearing about the border and how much of a crisis it is, how infuriating it is that there has been no improvement of the border situation. She is a mom who has lost two kids to fentanyl. And her testimony was so powerful. You're going to see a Fox, that really, really pretty Aisha Hosni reporter introducing this story. And then you're going to see part of that testimony from the mom. How anyone in Congress could have listened to that and not immediately be inspired to do something, I have no idea, because I don't know what else they need to hear. Check this out.
Republicans and Democrats, of course, always go at each other whenever the border is being talked about. But today really focused on the testimony, emotional, dramatic testimony from this mother, Rebecca Kiesling, who lost two of her sons to fentanyl poisoning. And that led her to come here to the Hill today and demand from lawmakers that they stop the bickering and they stop the smuggling of fentanyl across the border. Watch.
If we had Chinese troops lining up along our southern border with weapons aimed at our people, you damn well know you would do something about it. This is a war. Act like it. Do something.
Oh God, I mean, my heart breaks for her. It just,
how do you not? How do you listen to that and then just go back to your corners and fight? Like, how do you not immediately get a team together and say, okay, enough is enough. We're working together. We're going to sort this out and we're going to deal specifically with the border, not any of this dreamers bullshit, not any of this amnesty nonsense, but the border itself. What are we going to do to stop the influx right now?
Because they don't care. Because they don't care. They don't live there. They don't live in Texas. They don't care. They don't care. They live in DC. That's why.
Oh my God.
They live in DC and they don't live in the places where this, I guess it affects them. They live in their precious little, you know, places where they have walls that protect them, but they don't think that, you know, we need a wall. So yeah. And they'll look at this and they'll go, oh, we feel really bad for you, lady. And you know, oh, they're there. And then they'll just ignore her.
Yeah,
that's
they'll
the
forget
thing.
All about her.
They'll totally forget all about this woman and her precious little boys.
Oh.
Yeah, that she lost to a drug that doesn't need to be coming over, that they could stop. They could stop it. Yeah, they could do. They have the power to do that, but they won't do it.
Let's talk about something happier, like your whack.
Yeah. Okay. You guys, this is like the weirdest invention. Somebody sent this to me the other day. I'm so sorry. I don't remember who sent it to me, but then I've been seeing it all over the place and I'm like, I should probably make it the whack. It's a way that you can simulate kissing somebody long distance. What are we doing? It's like, you have a long distance relationship, just talk on the phone. But apparently it's like this,
It's a silicone thingy.
Right. And it actually, you can, it programs to your specific, like your breathing, your, like your touch, the touch of your mouth, everything.
Your firmness that you like kiss somebody with.
Your breath, all that stuff. And so you can make out with somebody. Oh, this is what we're doing now with our iPhones. Yeah.
It looks so ridiculous.
Yeah. So you can make
out. And this is from London. We thought based on the picture, we were like, ah, geez, China. It's China. What are you doing?
It's not China. Apparently. So Mock pointed out. She's like, no, it's from London. So
it's from London. And it's called the Kissinger, based on kissing and messenger. It's the Kissinger gadget. Mm-hmm. And you feel apparently like you're getting kissed back when you like put pressure on it. Anyway, the only thing that made me not want to just completely mock the crap out of it is that I thought about people who have military folks overseas. And if they are using it, I'm like, you know what? Whatever you need to do, whatever you need to do.
Can you imagine some like burly military dude whipping this out and like,
well, I don't know. I can't.
Seriously.
Actually. I can't.
I mean, because I live in a town where there's a lot of military. And there was a guy I got to see last night at a banquet. I went to a swim banquet and he's been gone. He was stationed in Poland and he just got back like last week. And I was like, oh my God, it's so great to see you. I cannot imagine that particular dude using one of these. There's just no way, you know? I don't know.
I mean, but I can't knock someone in that position.
Okay.
All right. My only caveat to not completely just mocking it.
I still think it's whack, you guys. I still think it's really whack.
Tammy's like, I'm a military wife, and no.
Yeah. Okay, Tammy. Tammy's with me. I think it's weird. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, tomorrow we're going to be in a hotel room. Hopefully the connection is okay. Oh, I'm a little worried about that.
Guys. Oh, but I hate traveling.
Different scenery.
I hate it.
Me too. I hate it.
Not a fan, you guys. I probably shouldn't have said that out loud. That's sometimes my interior voice just spews out. Just not a fan of traveling. So wish us luck with the traveling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I heard it's supposed to be really. He is. Are you going to get up, buddy? Come on. Get your big butt up. People want to see you. He's like, he's groaning. Come on. Come on. Get up. People want
to
see
you. He's not old enough to groan like an old person.
Come on. Come over here. You see him at the window, you guys. He's at the window. Can you see him?
Cash, come on.
Cash, come over here. People want to see you. Cash, come here. Hey.
He is uninterested.
Mean a butthead, you guys.
Oh, here he comes. Here he comes. Okay,
come here. Come on.
We got to have like a pre-CPAC flap.
Come on. Grace us with your presence. Come on.
Say there it is. Everybody. Look at that face.
There it was. Here it was, everybody. Okay.
There it was.
Creepy Peck Flap. Everybody have a wonderful day. We're going to talk to you tomorrow from DC. Bye, everybody.